Micah Johnson. Maybe there's a few of those floating around. Maybe some BC Lions fans are going to get him on their home screen this year. Defensive tackle with the BC Lions now, was with the Riders last year. Stampeders before that. He joins me here on the Scott Rental Show. Micah, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Who was your first true love? Who was that first favorite athlete you had when you were growing up?
Oh, man. I definitely think it would have to be, it was Shaq, man. It had to be the Shaquille O'Neal. Just watching him dominate the way he did. And, of course, at that point, I thought I was going to be a basketball player versus a football player. So, I love Shaq.
Now, is he your true love as well? Is he your favorite athlete of all time? Or when you started to become more of a football guy and focus on that sport, was there somebody you watched and said, no, that's top of the mountain now?
It was. Like, when I really enjoyed watching Mike Allstott growing up. He was a big, powerful running back. And Jerome Bettis. Like, I was a running back growing up and all the way up to college. So I always was enamored with the big running backs, 250. 260, I mean, in the bus case, about 270, 280 with nimble feet, man. So those two definitely, man. I used to sit up and watch Mike Allstott in the bus all day.
Man, that was a great backfield. Mike Allstott, Warrick Dunn before he went to Atlanta down in Tampa Bay. That was a fun backfield to watch.
It was. And then that year, Warrick Dunn got hurt, so he thought they was going to sign the running back. They just moved Mike Allstott to tailback, and he went for like 1,000 yards that season.
Did you wear number 40 because of that?
My first high school football number because of that.
I like it. Micah Johnson, defensive lineman now, defensive tackle with the BC Lions, joining me here on the Scott Rintoul Show. As you mentioned, I'm not sure everybody knows that about your story. You were a running back up until college. People look at your stats and they go, hold on, 6'2", 278, how are you a running back? When did you make that switch and how did that happen?
I kind of just made it myself, I guess, at that point. I was really, when I got to college, I was really enamored with the linebacker position, and I liked how cerebral it was and how much responsibilities they had, and I just fell in love with the linebacker position really going into college, so I was able to get a shot there, and I still, I was short yards a couple times my freshman year. I scored a touchdown in a bowl game against Clemson my freshman year, but other than that, I moved the linebacker right after that.
Well, it's working out pretty well for you on the defensive line. Your first couple of years in the league with the Stampeders, you were injury-plagued, but once you got healthy, everybody saw what you were capable of, and we saw a lot of dominant football on that Stampeders D-line from you. Free agency, Micah, means different things to different people. Why were the BC Lions the right choice for you this time around?
I was really focused on fit. Especially coming off a situation last year, coming off the season last year, fit was a big thing for me. And, being comfortable with the coaching staff and the coaching staff actually knowing me and really knowing what I stand for and, knowing who I am.
I think a lot of people overlook that. I think a lot of people overlook what you just talked about, the fit. There are a lot of great players, but unless they are put into a defense or offense where they are going to have their skills utilized properly, they're not going to put up numbers. They're not going to look a certain way. Was that right? Simply the case in Saskatchewan where you thought it was going to be one way coming in and you were just used differently?
Totally. I mean, that's how I was. Yeah, exactly how I was. But the thing about it is I was just really hard on myself because I just think I should be that impactful of a player where it doesn't matter the scheme. It doesn't matter anything like that. So I was more so disappointed with myself, man. I missed 8 or 9 sacks last year, literally like where I got the quarterback wrapped up and just fell off. I missed four or five games with a high ankle sprain. God just kept falling into the outside of my leg, like totally out of my control. There wasn't even nothing I can do. So from that aspect, it was just kind of more frustrating for me. And it was kind of an uphill battle. But definitely, I think the scheme and the fit really does matter, especially if you're a D lineman, especially if you're an inside guy like me. I'm a D tackle, so, it's not like I'm on the edges. And if the team wants to double you or slide your way, sometimes even triple you, unless you're given freedom and flexibility to make plays and move throughout that, it's kind of hard to deal with.
And some of that can be accomplished through scheme, but some of that you need to have good enough players around you that you're not always getting double teamed. You're not getting triple teamed all the time. When you looked at the BC Lions, when you talked to Ed Hervey about what he was trying to accomplish here, what did you see from a roster perspective that made you say, okay, this is going to allow me to do my thing?
I think so. I think with the signing, you know, of Junior, you know, the signing of the catcher, you know, they brought Newsom back. I think all those guys are, you know, proven rushers. And, you know, for me, my thing is I take pride in being able to do that, you know what I'm saying, is to come in, and I want to take pressure off the other guys. I don't want nobody else, you know, around me on the front four. No one else has to worry about getting double-teamed or anything like that. Like, I want to come, and I want to relieve pressure off guys where they can just rush, and, you know, I'll be able to deal with and go from there. But for me, it's just all about elevating my game, you know, to, you know, double-team, triple-team, it doesn't matter. You know, you got to be able to win. And even elevating my game to where it was sometimes where I got double so much, when I finally got single, I wasn't even ready. You get what I'm saying? So it's times like that, and it's really just trying to put it all together, man, and just having the, like I said, the flexibility to be able to backdoor when I want to or just play with my alignment. There's just a lot of different stuff like that, man, that really matters when you're a D-tackle versus being just even a DN.
In conversation with the Lions, big-time free agent signing Micah Johnson joining me here on the Scott Rentola Show. You were in Calgary, so you're used to going to the playoffs and on deep playoff runs every year. Saskatchewan was in the playoffs a year ago. The Lions have been on tough times lately. You could have chosen a team with a better recent track record. What makes you believe that the Lions can get things turned around this season?
I felt as though it was a lot of games that were close last year. And just understanding the players and some of the personnel who they have. And then, like I said, believing in the coaching staff and how they're going to come turn things around. And, you know, having confidence in myself, too, what I'm bringing to the table as well. You know, I think all that happens. You know, we get Mike back. You know, the receiving core is coming back strong. You know, the offensive line will be better than last year, have health. You know, get Big Fig back, get Chung back. You know, we add Matthew. So I think it's a lot of things to look forward to, man. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned is in by being through all these big playoff runs, and, you know, when you get a team like that, a championship team, man, it's all about camaraderie, man. Like, if you can just come together and love your teammate and love your partner next to you, it'll just make you fight that much harder for each other on the game field. So the biggest thing, just we just got to, you know, really become one, and it has to, you know, you got to, as corny as it sounds, man, you win those games, those wins come from love, man. Having love for your teammate that you're going to sell out the entire game, the whole time.
Yeah, and that speaks to culture. Doesn't it? It speaks to establishing the right culture. And certainly when you broke into the CFL, you found what is considered the best culture in the league right now in the Calgary Stampeders.
Right. And I think a lot of that has to come down to the players, man. And I think as great as, you know, Huffy is, and as great as, you know, Coach Dickey is, man, I can say that when I was there throughout the period, you really had great players, man. You had great people. And that can be a testament to the scouting department, but it was just a lot of great, good, genuine people, man. And I think that carries over when it's on your football team. And it was always just that good core, good guys on the team that you know was going to come to work every day. You know they wasn't going to allow, you know, no BS. And on top of that, just be a leader and not a rah-rah yell guy, but just a guy that's going to come in and do the right thing. So if the best players and the best player on the team is the hardest working, you know, it becomes easy from a coaching staff standpoint.
Speaking of the coaching staff, Rick Campbell, the head coach now in BC, he was your defensive coordinator in Calgary. How would you describe the coach-player relationship that you have with him?
It's always been good. Last year, free agency, we were connected as well, too, and it almost happened in Ottawa. Honestly, we almost got reconnected last year in Ottawa. It was almost a sure thing. So, you know, we've kept in contact. And, probably my most vivid memory of Coach Rick is, you know, we went on a long stretch. My first year, we were winning a lot of ball games in Charleston and Cordero Law. I think they had like 18 sacks. Charleston had like 16, 18 sacks. Law had the same. And Coach Rick called me and DeMonte Bolden, who was the two starting D tackles, up to his office. And this is late in the season. And he just told us, hey, I know y'all ain't getting no publicity. I know y'all ain't getting no stats. But I want y'all to know y'all are the reason why this whole thing is working. And no matter what, no matter none of that, just know from me that y'all are the reason, you know, why this thing is working. And please don't stop what you're doing. And just hearing that and having conversations like that from your DC, I mean, man, that goes a mile. It just had it, just, it like recharged us. Like, okay, come on, let's keep going. You know what I mean? So just for him to take the time and pull us aside like he did like that late in the season, you know, that was way back in 2013. You know, I mean, forget that.
Well, and you make a really good point in telling that story. I think most people think, oh, the story of belief happens when you're talking about teenager teams or maybe in college. It's a big deal at the professional level to have somebody in your corner.
It is, man. You got to understand, man, at this professional level, and also especially when it comes to the CFL, you're not dealing with guys that are first-round guys, or you're not dealing with guys that have heard yes. Especially when it comes to the CFL, you're dealing with a whole guy that's heard no and have had coaches say they don't believe in them, and doors closed in their face, and that's a lot of the reason why we come up here. So for me, that was one of the biggest things for me, man. I mean, I came out of college 2010, and between 2010 and 13, you know, I played for 5 or 6 NFL teams and just kept hearing no, and I thought I was balling. I mean, it was times I led the team in sacks and tackles in the preseason and still got cut. So I think just coming up here and the first coach I had was Coach Rick, I think it just kind of changed my perspective, really, on professional sports for that matter, because at that point I think I was just so bitter.
The BC Lions recruited you here. Did you pick up the phone and try to recruit other guys? You find Darrell Walker's phone number and see if he can make it out here to the West Coast?
Yeah, I reached out to Darrell. We exchanged words a little bit, but it was all positive. And, you know, they're trying to get that done, and you kind of got to leave that up to the staff. But, you know, I know a couple guys where, you know, if whatever the team is, you know, when that locker room door closed, that's what we are. And we just got to create our identity and win. And, you know, everybody is a champion contender right now. Everybody feels like they have the best roster. And it's all the hype about trying to, you know, win the offseason. But none of that matters, man, come June. Because you're still going to have to lace it up. And you're still going to have to go take it from somebody.
You're absolutely right. Well, they're trying to make a tougher football team in BC. You certainly make them that. In the image of Mike Allstott and Jerome Bettis, thanks for sharing with us this morning, Micah. Really pleasure. Really our pleasure talking to you today. Have a great weekend, and thanks for doing this.
Awesome. No problem, man. Yes, sir.